The study that I'm going to talk about was conducted in Lafayette, Indiana, between the years of 1997 and 2004. So it was a long-term P&K fertility study. And this picture was taken after 6 production years, and you can see that there were several plots here in the background in the middle of this photo that were performing really well also after 6 production years. These were also pretty well fertilized, but there were some plots that didn't perform very well by the end of the study. So the hypothesis of the study was to see how P&K fertility can increase herbage P&K concentrations and alfalfa growth, and also that high performance has attributes that can be seen from an early stand age. And these attributes can be used to predict alfalfa growth and persistence of these stands. So the objectives were then to investigate how long-term P&K fertility affects soil test P&K levels, tissue P&K levels, and alfalfa growth, and to explore how this information can be used to predict agronomic performance of alfalfa. So as I said, the study was conducted in Lafayette, Indiana, between the years of 1997 and 2004. It was a randomized complete block design with 4 P rates ranging from 0 to 75 kilograms per hectare per year, and 5 K rates from 0 to 400 kilograms per hectare per year. We harvested these plots 4 times a year in May, June, July, and September, and then we measured the yield. We recorded yield components such as mass per shoot and shoots per square meter, and we also collected herbicide samples. We also took soil samples in increments at each harvest and also in early spring in April. I'm not going to talk very much about the soil today because of time constraints. So. But these herbage and soil samples were analyzed for P&K concentrations. So when we started a statistical analysis of this study, we quickly realized that the commonly used ANOVA and regression analysis didn't fit very well for the study, even though it was set up as a randomized complete block design and made for ANOVA. But there was spatial variation in the field, and this variation was on a plot scale basis, so even though we were using 4 blocks, this was not enough to take care of this variation. So instead, we chose to use cluster analysis, which evaluates the plots on a plot performance basis rather than the applied treatment. And it integrates the initial fertility level that was varying a little bit among the plots with the applied treatment. So no assumptions were made on the expected results of this study. So the question now was how we best would form these clusters that I'm talking about. And since cluster analysis may be something new for some of you, I'll spend a minute or so to describe what we were doing. And we used something called k-means clustering, and formed cluster using the yield components mass per shoot and shoots per square meter. Because these two, the product of these two, compose yield, and yield is really what we're interested in looking at. So first of all, we needed to decide how many clusters we were going to make of this data. And to do that, we used variance reduction analysis. If we look at our 80 treatments, 80 plots, as one population and look at the variance in yield between these as one group, it's going to be a variance of 100% up here. As we divide these 80 plots into 2 groups that have similar characteristics among them, we will see that the variance in yield between these plots is going to be reduced. So our weighted total added variance, where is this pointer, for 2 clusters is going to be less than that 100%. And as we add more and more clusters, the variance is going to go down. Well, this point, there it is. Okay. So when we reach 5 clusters, the variance reduction stabilized. So we chose to use 5 clusters in this study. We made or formed our clusters from the May 2004 data and used this harvest as a reference harvest because 2004 was our last production year and May was the highest yielding cluster. So we assumed that if the plots were doing well by this harvest, they were also doing well earlier in the study. And we confirmed this assumption by looking at the correlation between the May 2004 yield and the total yields of 2003 and 2004, and they were highly correlated. So we formed these five clusters from our 80 plots, and when we look at the distribution between the mass per shoot and the shoots per square meter of the plots, we can see that they formed distinctive groups. We have, for example, one here that has small shoots, but many, and then one cluster over here that is the opposite. It has fewer, a moderate number of shoots, but they are large. When we looked at these clusters and compared the yields of them, we saw that the yields were different from each other. We named the clusters according to how they were yielding. So the highest yielding cluster is the high cluster, and then the medium high, and so on. We added a sixth cluster manually that contained three plots that died by the end of the study, and you saw two of them in the first picture that I showed you. You can see here on the first row the number of plots that were contained in the clusters as well. These tables are showing the treatments that were contained in each cluster. We have six tables here, for one for each cluster, the high cluster, medium high, medium, and so on. And on each of these tables, you have the K rates and the P rates that were included in the study. Each of these X's is one plot or one observation. And we can see that in the highest performing cluster, the K rates were 200 kilograms or more per hectare per year, and 50 kilograms of P or more. So pretty high and balanced fertility. However, what's is interesting here is that the highest fertility plots were not found in the highest performing cluster, but here in the medium high cluster, which shows that that there are factors other than the applied treatment that are also important for the plot performance. In the medium yielding cluster, most of the plots were fertilized with K, but not with P. In the medium low, the plots treatments were a little scattered, quite unpredictable, and we're going to look more closely at this cluster later. It was also difficult to find common traits for these plots. The low cluster had imbalance, either K or P fertilization, and the very low was the one containing three plots that died by the end of the study, fertilized with P but not with K. I'm going to mention balance and imbalance fertility a couple of times, and with that I just mean that balance is that they got both P and K at approximately the same level. Imbalances that they received either or. If we look at the Herbisch P concentrations of the clusters, we can see that the high cluster had among the highest Herbisch P concentrations, but so did the medium low and the low cluster as well, and they were not performing very well. The very low cluster is not included in this graph because of missing data for this harvest. Same thing for Herbisch K concentrations, that the high cluster had among the highest Herbisch K concentrations, but the only one that had a lower Herbisch K concentrations was the low cluster, also the very low, even though it's not shown on this one because of missing data. So far we have looked at the clusters by at the reference harvest in the end of the study, but now we are going to look at how these clusters changed over time. We have data here for the May yield for each of the years of 1998 to 2004 for each of the six clusters. Each of these means of the clusters of yield are compared to the high cluster, and the asterisks are showing statistical differences. So for example, the medium cluster here was significantly different from the high cluster in the first year. So we can see here in the first production year that the medium, the low, and the very low clusters were immediately different in yield, all from the first year of the study. However, the medium high cluster and the medium low clusters yielded the same as the high cluster for the four production years, but then they had a lower yield. And what is interesting to look at is the medium low cluster that for 4 years yielded the same as the high cluster, but by the end of the study had almost only half the yield of what the highest producing plots had. So So now you wanted to see what other characteristics, other than yield, were actually different between these clusters. So looking at the herbage P concentrations, we can see that the medium cluster was already from the beginning of the study showing a lower herbage P concentration than the high cluster, showing us that this may be an indicator of this type of plot with this type of production. The other plots had either the same herbage P concentrations as the high cluster or just scattered differences without a clear pattern. Looking at the herbage K concentrations, we see that both the low and the very low clusters had a lower herbage K concentrations. So three of our clusters could be defined or be indicated by herbage P or K concentration, the medium, the low, and the very low cluster. But we still have the medium high and the medium low clusters left, and these were also the ones that yielded the same as the high cluster for several years. And for them, herbage P and K concentrations were not good indicators. But if we look at the mass per shoot of these clusters, we can see that both the medium high and the medium low cluster had lower mass per shoot that occurred either when or before yield reduction occurred. So this might be a trait that we need a diagnostics for, a trait that we can see that at the same time as we have yield reduction, we also have lower mass per shoot. And we're going to continue looking at soil P and K levels and so on to see why this happened, why they got a lower mass per shoot by the end of the study. So to summarize this, by using cluster analysis on mass per shoot inches per square meter, we found six clusters that differed in yield components, and herbage P and K concentrations. We saw that factors other than applied P and K treatments affected the performance of the plots. And the best performing plots had both high P and K concentrations, indicating that a balanced fertility is important for high plant performance. We saw that the medium, the low, and the very low clusters were distinguished early from the high cluster, but with time, the productivity of these plots, the medium high and the medium low, though, performed as well as the high cluster, but with time, these decreased in productivity. We saw that differences in herbage P and K concentrations can be early indicators of performance of some type of plots, but not all. But we saw instead that the performance of the medium high and the medium low clusters were associated with low mass per shoot, and continuous work will try to identify additional factors that can that cause this reduction in mass per shoot. So with that, I would like to end the presentation, and if you have any questions, and if you have time, I'll be happy to answer.
Yeah, we have a couple. Two questions. We have one.
What kind of method did you use for the classification or the clusters? Was it a specific statistical analysis, or did you do like a supervised classification based on criteria that you set forth to bring these into clusters?
I used the k-means clustering using Minitab, and this just put in the mass per shoot and issues per square meter, which were the factors that I used the clustering on, and the computer gives you, you also put in how many clusters you want to make, and then the computer forms the clusters for you by pulling together observations that have similar characteristics.